These are the PCORI methodology standards. This category is about standards for causal inference methods. It was prepared by Dr. Elizabeth Stewart, a biostatistician in the Department of Mental Health, and Dr. Scott Zeger from the Department of Biostatistics. It will be presented by Dr. Stewart.
Hi, this is Liz Stewart. In this module, we will be discussing confounding, randomized experiments, and non-experimental studies. With causal inference, the ultimate goal is to estimate a causal effect, a comparison of the potential outcomes under different treatment conditions. The challenge, however, is that people are different from one another, and people change over time, and we don't get to see all of the potential outcomes that we'd want to be able to see. And in particular, a challenge is that the people that choose to get one treatment or get one treatment for one reason or another might differ from those that get another. So differences that we might see in outcomes across treatment conditions may be a result of those pre-existing differences, not to the treatment itself. Formally, this idea is known as confounding. A confounder in particular is a variable that's associated with the exposure of interest, associated with the outcome of interest, and not in the causal path between the exposure and the outcome. This is shown graphically in this figure where we have the confounders that relate both to exposure and outcome. What we're interested in is the arrow between exposure and outcome, but the concern is that the confounders might make it hard for us to isolate that exposure-outcome association. To make this more concrete, let's imagine a situation where we're interested in estimating the effect of talk therapy versus medication for depression on depression levels 3 months later. A concern is that if we simply compare depression levels 3 months later for people who got talk therapy versus medication, we may see, for example, that the talk therapy group has lower depression levels 3 months later. However, what it could be is that in part, people who choose the talk therapy are less severely depressed than those who choose medication. And so a difference that we see in depression levels across these groups might not be due to the talk therapy versus medication, but might be at least partially due to differences in the baseline depression severity. One potential solution to this problem of confounding is randomized experiments. Randomized experiments get around this confounding by ensuring that the people in the treatment conditions are similar. This is done by assigning individuals to the treatment conditions randomly. What this ensures is that across all characteristics, the people in one group, say the talk therapy group, should be only randomly different from the people in the other group, the medication group. So then, if we see a difference in outcomes, it must be due to the treatment, because the groups were the same with respect to everything else. What this means is that this allows us to isolate the effect of the treatment, the talk therapy versus medication, and make sure that any difference or any effect that's seen is really due to that treatment and not due to any confounding differences between the groups. To illustrate and clarify what a randomized experiment gives us in terms of the analysis and why randomization is beneficial, let's look at this figure. We imagine a study population with two types of people, solid people and striped people. For now, we'll imagine a small population with just 10 people in it, and there are 6 solid and 4 striped people. In a randomized experiment, what happens is that these two types of people get evenly distributed across the treatment and comparison conditions. So in this example, we see that the treatment group has 3 solid and 2 striped, and the comparator condition group also has 3 solid and 2 striped. These groups are what are known as balanced in terms of these patient characteristics. What randomization gives us is this balance on all characteristics of the subjects under study. For every possible characteristic we can imagine, whether it's health status or gender, age, some risk score for the outcome of interest, the treatment and comparison conditions will be similar in terms of that characteristic. So in a randomized experiment, what we can do is then follow up the treatment and comparison conditions, follow up the people in each of those groups, and measure outcomes on them. So in this study, we would measure outcomes on the 5 people in the treatment group and the 5 people in the comparison group, 3 solid and 2 striped in each. We then can compare results, and any difference in outcomes that we see between the groups, we can attribute to the treatment of interest and know that it was not due to any differences in background characteristics that there might have been between the groups, because we know that the groups were similar with respect to all characteristics. Any difference is really only due to the treatment of interest. In practice, what this also means is that randomized experiments often can show a table like shown here, where essentially researchers can show that across the treatment conditions, in this case, a usual care condition and an intervention group, these two groups look similar. So if we look at the percentage male or the average age or the functional comorbidity index or the percent classified as a high social class, those variables all look similar between the treatment groups. So the percent male is 58% in one group, 56% in the other. The functional comorbidity index has about the same mean in the two groups. The time from hospital to ICU admission is similar in the two groups. Again, a randomized experiment allows us to see a table like this that indicates that yes, before any intervention was given, these groups, the group that later got the intervention and the group that didn't, they looked similar. And again, in fact, a randomized experiment gives us this on everything, things that we observe as well as things that we don't actually observe. However, randomized experiments don't necessarily solve all of our problems. Various complications can come in a randomized experiment. This might include that we don't collect outcome data on everyone. It might be hard to follow up and find everyone. This could be due to mortality or other factors. Another reason is that some individuals may not adhere to their assigned treatment condition. So we might say, you're in the medication group, please take this medication. People don't always do exactly as they're told and may not actually take the treatment that was assigned. Both of these things can make an experiment look more like a non-experimental study. Another complication is that, of course, we also can't always do a randomized experiment. There might be ethical or practical reasons why we just don't think it's appropriate or feasible to do a randomized experiment. This can be particularly true when studying treatments or interventions that are already widely available, such as in studies of comparative effectiveness, where both treatments of interest are already out and available, and it might not be seen as ethical to randomly assign people to one treatment or another. So sometimes we can't do an experiment, and we're left with what's called a non-experimental or observational study. In a non-experimental study, we just see that some people received a treatment of interest and others received a comparator condition of interest, but we weren't able to randomly assign people to those groups. This figure shows the same sort of setup that we saw earlier for a randomized experiment. We start with the same study population of solid and striped people. However, in a non-experimental study, we might have a situation such as shown here, where there are more striped people in the comparator condition than in the treatment condition. In the randomized experiment, the striped and solid people were evenly distributed across these groups. However, in a non-experimental study, that's not guaranteed, and we might have a situation like we have here, with 4 solid in the treatment group and only 2 solid in the comparator condition. This is what's known as confounding, where differences in outcomes might be due to the treatment versus comparator conditions of interest, or it could be due to the fact that the groups were not evenly matched to start with. And this is what makes non-experimental studies harder to analyze than a randomized experiment. So again, in a non-experimental study, we have to worry about confounding in ways that we don't have to in a randomized experiment. Fundamentally, the issue is that individuals who receive one treatment versus another might differ from one another. And they may differ from one another in ways that we observe, sort of variables or characteristics that we actually can see, but they might also differ from each other in ways that we can't observe. There might be characteristics of individuals, say their innate health status or their attitudes towards therapy or medication, that lead them to make particular treatment choices, and we might observe some of those, but we might not observe all of them. However, the good news is that a number of strong non-experimental study designs exist, which allow us to try to disentangle the confounding from true causal effects. All will rely on some assumptions, and it will be very important to assess their plausibility and sensitivity of results to those assumptions. It's also very important for all studies, both experimental and non-experimental, to document approaches thoroughly, including pre-specification of hypotheses and data analysis plans, and make the results reproducible. In conclusion for this module, confounding can make it hard to estimate causal effects. Randomized experiments offer one way around that by ensuring that the treated and control or exposed and unexposed groups are similar with respect to all background characteristics. However, sometimes we're left with non-experimental designs where we weren't able to assign treatments randomly. And in those cases, then we have to worry about confounding.